Do it properly, stand up. Never want half-hearted worship.
Yes.
Worship has always got to be, whatever we do, do it with your whole heart.
Amen.
I had to do, I did a survey out of the goodness of my heart for Sport England. You know, as a pensioner, let's say, as an elderly man. I did a survey for Sport England. They bribed me, they said, we will give you a £5 voucher if you do. So, okay. They asked me what sport I did. And I had to say, well, mainly walking. And it happened, they said, what have you done in the last month? And they said, well, we walked in Wells, that kind of helped. We went up some hills, we walked for several hours. And one of the questions was, did you ever get out of breath? And I was honest, I said, well, no, we didn't really. You know, we went pretty quick up there, we never got out of breath. But I'll tell you what, in the house of the Lord this morning, while I was dancing before the Lord, I got out of breath. Amen.
Amen.
I did get out of breath, and it's high time we all did. Yes. David danced before the Lord. I will dance before the Lord with all of my might. All of my might. We need this.
Yes.
We need to lead worship.
Yes.
Why Lee shared that burden this morning was because she had a burden of carrying what we should have been releasing to them.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. Now we're going to sing. What are we going to sing?
God is good.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, I've got some seeds to plant. Voy shared about some seeds, but as I began to share, I got a great sense of what I believe God wants to do amongst us. Possibly, or certainly starting today, continuing. And some of it has already been, was mentioned. But what I've asked, and there were some advance notices, but they never got there, but 2 weeks today, we want to start a week of prayer and fasting.
Amen.
That's not optional.
Amen.
Jesus needed to fast for 40 days.
Yes.
We need to fast at least for one day sometime in our Christian walk. Yeah, but I dare to say you will never fulfill the call of God on your life without some time and some commitment to prayer and fasting. There is no better way. If there was, Jesus didn't need to.
Yeah.
And as a church, in 2 weeks today, starting on the Sunday, it's for 7 days, to pray and to fast. And you can sit down now, okay? You can rest now. And it's kind of one of these days. I'll share this anyway. This might end up as a sermon, but whatever. Oh, I sense this is based on looking at the book of Nehemiah, a great book, great man of God, and he had a burden on his heart to renew, revive, physically rebuild the physical wall around Jerusalem. And when he heard about that and became conscious of what God wanted him to do, he gave himself, the Bible simply says he spent much time, whether it was 7 days or however many. In the first chapter of Nehemiah, he spent some time in praying and in fasting. And hence, I believe out of that came a strategy. Everything else flowed together. If you read the book, you'll see how it happened. That everything he asked for, God provided, was provided for him. He asked for time off from the king. If you ever tried that for your boss, can have time off, you know. Unlimited time off. I think it was many years actually. And then, having got the time off, he said, "Well, it's going to cost a lot of money. I want not only my holiday pay, but I want the cost of the holiday. It's going to cost actually. In our time, it would cost several billion pounds. Can I have the money?" And the king said, "Yeah, okay." That all followed. He just go on. It followed on that time of prayer and fasting. So I'll share that, that from 7 days today, beginning of Sunday, that Sunday's the first day, from Sunday to the Saturday, we're fasting and praying for God's wisdom and God's favour. Because there's a lot of things to do, and we need, how about you, but I need wisdom to implement what needs to be done. We can't carry on as we are. However good it is, the good is the enemy of the best. And I dare to say this now, I've been thinking about it, but I'm saying it now anyway. I had a prophetic word from the devil last night. He said, I am going to close down this church. Glad about that. I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged by every prophetic word I get from God, but I'm equally encouraged by every prophetic word I get from the devil. Because he knows this is a threat to his kingdom. It is a threat to his kingdom. And we know that we do not fight against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spirits in high places. That's what we're part of. And this is not a one-man fast. This is not just for the pastor and the leaders. There is for the leaders. If you're a leader, you've got to fast, period. That's what leaders do. If you don't fast as a leader, then you're leading people not to fast. You're leading people into backsliding. You're leading people to be happy with a lukewarm Laodicean church. As a leader, expecting you to lead by example. And we commit ourselves to praying and fasting for what God wants to do here at the Way Family Church. And I want all leaders to do that. Whatever we call ourselves, and there are many that call themselves, but leaders are those that are following. And you should follow leaders. And the leaders should be examples. So there's the basis.
Sorry. Could you just give the date again? Because you've said 2 weeks and 1 week. Sorry.
From 2 weeks today.
2 weeks.
Beginning 2 weeks today. I did change it, I must admit.
Yeah.
I'm working out on my calculator. 21st of September. Starting 2 weeks today for 7 days. So I said, as leaders, we want leaders that pray, leaders that fast and pray. Now, I've been here 7 years and many leaders have not been to the prayer meetings as yet. They've had 7 years to do it. From now on, continue to be a leader. We'll be seeing you at the prayer and fasting, seeing you at the prayer meeting. We have, when we come to that week, we regularly pray on Wednesdays and nights and Thursday nights and also Tuesday morning, as we highlighted. At least for one of those nights. In fact, I want everybody to come Wednesday night. Everybody. I read on holidays, dreaded holiday reading, about the leader of the church in Brooklyn, in New York. One of the most, you know, difficult places of New York, let's say. Their weekly prayer, he said, everything that God did in that place. And they now have several meetings on Sundays. I think 3 or 4. And he says, none of these sort of hour long. They're each two hours long, I think, 4 meetings every Sunday to accommodate what God is doing there. And he said, over and over again, the key to this is prayer and fasting. We have a prayer meeting. I think theirs was Tuesday. 1,500 people pray every Tuesday. From now on, the prayer meeting is the meeting. I expect everybody to be here. I know if you've got this dear lady over there that can't see at night, that can't drive in the dark, and she comes every single week. So this Wednesday, we don't have to fast, but you can. But we need to turn around. We cannot go on as we are. I don't know if his sermon's gone down the chute, probably has. We're going to do that. That's the options. But I'm calling the church to fast and pray as leaders. Thank God for those that are standing with me and have done and are doing. As you're standing with me to do this, we're expecting the church to follow what the leaders are doing.
Amen.
That's what leaders are supposed to do, and that's what you're supposed to do with leaders. Amen. So that's just the beginning. That's the 7 days. The purpose, again, was for Nehemiah. And just looking a little bit into Nehemiah, he was a bit, if I can say this, he was a bit slow to recognize the spiritual opposition until it began. So he didn't really take any steps until chapter 5 in Nehemiah. And in chapter 5, he rose up specific people who would pray. Everybody was working on the wall to start with. But he says, from now on, even the ones working on the wall, you've got to work and pray. But there's going to be a prayer wall. I feel the first thing, again, that we share today, the first priority. We're all called to pray. We just said that. We agree with that. We need to pray together. Together. How blessed it is when come together. I somehow remember Acts chapter 2 says somewhere they were all together. Some were watching online. I don't think they were. There were 120 in the upper room. Maybe there should have been more, but that's how many there were. So we pray together. And the first thing to do, I need to identify those of you know who you are. In this church, in this group here today, there are those who are the particular ministry of intercession. As Lee has asked for, we need to identify who you are. This is part of the purpose in general. We need to identify the ministries that God has placed within us, who they are, and then encourage them to operate. According to Ephesians 4, the leaders of the church then release the ministries. You know, I'm a pastor, now I'll release you to be a pastor. Easy thing to do, you know, it's 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Praise the Lord. My previous church treasurer, not Tom, it was previous church treasurer, went to the bank and the man at the bank asked him, he says, what hours does your pastor work? He said he works 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. How many believe that? And actually, that is the call of God. That is the call of God. That is the call of the pastor. To shepherd the flock of God. Care for the flock of God. And so, but the first priority, I believe it should have been the first. No, the first thing is, we want to identify those that have this ministry of intercession. You will now then, you are the prayer shield. They need, as we said, they need a prayer shield. Not just them. But unfortunately, and at the moment, not unfortunately, but I mean, Lee needs a prayer shield for what she's doing on Sunday. That's good. As she said, so we need to have people that will commit to that. And not just for what Lee does on Sunday, but for what Lee does on Fridays. And then there's what Lee does on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, which is dead easy, just looking after the family and the husband. You know, that's easy because you all know the men do all the work. But that's the thing. So we have a prayer shield and they will actually pray for all of the ministries in the church. The worship, the youth, the children that's happening now and everything else that takes place, everything associated with the church. So that's the first thing, to identify those people, to make yourself available. If I don't ask you, you ask me, but I think I know some anyway. And then the next thing Nehemiah does, it's in chapter 3 of Nehemiah. It says, interestingly, he repaired, as well as the wall, he repaired 10 gates. 10 gates around Jerusalem. And it's an interesting read. And you don't, you know, you can start being a Bible teacher by looking at the names of those gates and identifying them with the New Testament church that we are. And the very first one, he repaired the sheep gate. We need to repair the sheep gate. And the sheep gate is where the sheep come in and out. In other words, he looked after the sheep. That's our priority. The first thing we've got to do is to look after the sheep. Now, there's people here, I don't even know your names, so sadly, I confess, or forget them, or don't remember them, that's the start. We need to know who God has put within us. And the best way of looking after the sheep is not to have them in a big sheep pen of 100 sheep and whatever, and spend all your time counting, 1, 2, 3, 99, 100. Sure? No. Is that 99? There's one missing. No. The best thing about looking after the sheep, even with this, is to have some small groups. I think, you know, it would be great if we could have 3 small groups. So each small group will look after the sheep, and that's where the sheep get looked after. And Voyle's already begun a fellowship there in where he's living in Breton, or his mother lives in Breton. So there's number one. We need some more than just one. I think obviously this is a good area for one. And perhaps in other places where they are concentrated. So that was the first thing. So we're praying, having prayed, We seek to identify the prayer ministry. We then identify, hopefully, small groups that can begin or can start. And then the next gate he built, guess what it was? Anybody know? Honest anyway. Anybody know? Anybody know? No Bible teachers. The fish gate. Yeah. You know what the fish gate is? That's the evangelism gate. Again, that's already begun, but we need to repair it. We need to open it. We need to make sure it's wide. So we need to look after the fish. We need to look after the sheep and look after the fish. And we can't carry things too far, but we leave the sheep and the fish. So that's the priority. That's imminent priority of how I believe we need to begin to become what God wants us to be. So that we begin with prayer and fasting, asking God for wisdom to do that, as Nehemiah did. And it's just amazing to read how those things came together so rapidly in the book that he wrote. But again, the first priority is a prayer shield. So we've lived for 7 years. I know we've all prayed. But we've got to go. You see, just over a year ago, at Assemblies of God, we had our 100th conference, 100th year of Assemblies of God. And it's a great time of celebration. Everybody celebrated at the 100th conference. Yeah, we're 100 years old. Well, you know, nearly. And it's just celebrating what God had done. And we all went home with this great, nice feeling that, oh, it's so blessed to be part of that. But this conference this year was number 101. What do you do when you're 101? Well, Lou's even not here yet, but what you do when you're 101, you do what Jeff Boycott does. You take your guard again and say, okay, I'm going to go for the next 100. Now, the conference this year was recognizing, okay, we were 100 last year, but we've got to go to a new level, a new level. And so that's what we have to do as a church. We can celebrate what God has done, but we need to go to a new level, going on from where we are. So that's the thoughts. As I said, starting 2 weeks today, we'll give more details on the program. So this is mine, and I didn't really sort of expect to share all of that, but I felt it's all there, so it came out. I just want to share, as advertised, three seeds, as the boy was sharing, Bible seeds that we can plant. And here are three seeds to progress. We want to progress. This is a season of progress. I can't preach very long anyway, so that'll limit me, won't it? If I just tell you what the seeds are, you'll get the message. And make sure we plant them. That's the great thing. I could preach another quick message. You may have heard one or two. But I just pray then today that the Holy Spirit will plant some seeds. Because without seeds planted on good ground, even if it's not good ground, you know, the planting in itself will not do any good. So we need to search our hearts and make sure. Now we're 101 years old. You see, Jesus spoke the parable about putting new wine into old wineskins and say it's a lost cause. There's no way you can put new wine into it. It'll waste the wine and burst the wineskins. The old wineskin is hard. It's a flexible wineskin. The new wineskin is flexible. And as new converts, when we were young, we were very, very flexible. We were open to everything God wanted to do. I'm sure we were, as far as we knew. God, we want everything. But it's just staggering, really, and it's challenging how long it takes or how short it takes that the new wineskin becomes the old wineskin. The old wineskin says, this is how we've always done it. The old wineskin can't grow. And the old wineskin does not receive any new seeds. Doesn't want to know about it. It's good enough anyway. I'm 100 years old. I've done all of this. I've done this. I've done that. I've heard this. I've been around that bush so many times. You know, I don't like into new things. But God says, I am doing a new thing.
Amen.
And we have to search our hearts before God. Say, God, am I ready? Am I open to that? So here are some seeds. I think I just plant them. I'll drink this, having carried it. These are the seeds we're going to plant. They're simple seeds. Psalm 27 and verse 4. Bless the Lord. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. There's another one to sing. We could sing that before we go. Psalm 27 and verse 4. David said, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." And depends on you. He was really thinking, actually, it's before that. It was a tent, actually. It was a tabernacle. It was before the temple was built. But that's, you know, what he meant. Because David's priority is that we want the Ark of the Covenant. We want the presence of God. I don't want to live 100 miles away from the presence of God. I want to live. I want to carry the presence of God. And David really was saying, in effect, I want to live next door to the presence of God. Thank God we can do more than that. We carry the presence of God. But David said, this is my ambition. One thing I want, Lord, I want to live in your house, if I could, all the days of my life. Not just to live there and say, well, it's a nice place, but to do something, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Let me tell you the amplified version about that. David says, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord, to behold and gaze upon the beauty, the sweet attractiveness, and the delightful loveliness of the Lord, and to meditate, consider, and to inquire in his temple. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord. And that's David's ambition. I want to put these seeds, plant these seeds into my heart, into our hearts this morning. David, of course, had many prayers. We all have many prayers. Of course we should. But in this, David said, if I could only pray one prayer, this is what it would be. I want to live, Lord, in your presence. I want to live in your presence. I don't want to know about your presence. I want to know you. That's what Paul was praying. We haven't got to that yet. I just want to know about God. I want to know him. I plant that seed in your heart today. I plant that seed of David, the seed of a man after God's own heart. I plant that by the word of the Lord, that you will meditate, that you will dwell upon the goodness and the loveliness of the Lord. We need to do that. Live in his presence. We need to cultivate how to live in the presence of God and not just carry along by the rush and the turmoil of the world. We need to slow down sometimes and smell the roses. It's a beautiful place. Praise the Lord. Yeah. And we need to carry God's presence. Yeah. The heavens, this earth is filled with the glory of God. Yes. The word of God is filled with the glory of God. Yeah. And just meditate. I love that. Philippians actually chapter 2. There's a tremendous hymn of praise in that. And I just leave that before you this morning. I plant that seed into your heart to plant it home. Paul says, let this mind be in you. When you're sitting before the Lord, let this mind be in you that you have in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not count it right to be equal with God, but humbled himself. Read that through. Meditate upon it. It doesn't take years. You can do it in minutes, but you need minutes to do it regular. And as you meditate on that, the word says, let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you. We have to be so like Jesus that we actually don't have to say anything. Of course we do. I don't know. Noise just left me now, but anyway, I love you, boy. Yeah, we need to witness for you, honest. But we have to be so much, our lives should speak so much of Jesus that we don't really need to say. We're like him. That's what we should be. Yeah. That's what Paul said. He says, let this mind be in you. We're carrying his presence. We carry his presence with us. Psalm 27, verse 4. The next one, one thing I ask. Luke chapter 10, verse 41 and verse 42. You may know it already. Martha and Mary Martha actually, you know, she gets a bad press, but she invited Jesus in. But she was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And she came and she said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." So Martha, the Bible says, is overoccupied and too busy. Huh? Who knows, there's a lot to do. A lot to do in the church, even. We can be overoccupied with the church, like Ephesus was, and be too busy, not have time to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to what he has to say. Again, this is a learned behavior. I want to encourage you, I plant that seed in your heart. Ask from today. We're going to a new level. We're going from wherever we were, what year we were in. Always think about the school terms, graduating year on year. And our children are going to a new level. In a year's time, they will be, you know, brilliant at what they compare with where they are now. I remember in my school days, we used to look at the end of term exams, at the beginning of term, not a good idea. And how can we ever do that? But after 6 months, whatever it was, 10 months of teaching, 10 months of lessons, 10 months of hard work, we sort of just, when the exams came, we just sailed through them. No problem. Because we'd gone to a new level. And God wants us, insists that we go to a new level. Yeah. Because he's going there. Yeah. And we can't say, "Well, cheerio, we're staying here. You know, it's nice here, Lord. You know, honest, we enjoy it here." No, no. We have to go on with God. Yeah. And going on with God is learning to listen to him. Yeah. Learning to hear his voice. It's a matter of learning. Goodness knows I've got a lot to learn. And hopefully when we hear his voice, it's quite a simple thing to do. Whatever he says to you, just do it. That's the next lesson, isn't it? But anyway, learn to obey. Okay, the third one. Final one. Paul, now if you know this one in advance. Philippians chapter 3. All of these three seeds. I like to think of it, I mean, it's like three headings. It was three sermon headings, honest. It's like a threefold cord. These three seeds, they're so connected. It's like the Bible says, there's a rope of three cords. It's not easily broken. It's like you could plant one and you can plant, and that's good. You could plant another one and that's good too. Plant the other, but plant somehow, I felt, you know, these three come together. Plant all three. Plant all three. And this third one, of course, comes from the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3. And he's just sharing his testimony. And, you know, chapter 3, verse 10, I want to know Christ. And he's writing from a prison cell. He's writing from a situation where he's planted a church in Philippi, and he's planted one in Corinth, and he's planted one in Ephesus, and he's been in and out of prison. And he says, "I don't think I've arrived yet. I don't think I've got to the level where God wants me to be." And in chapter 3, verse 12, he says, "Not that I have already obtained all of this." And what all of this is, you're going to do that for homework, okay? The first part of the chapter. But there's a story there. Read it. Seriously, if you look at it, he's got actually a journey from justification by works to justification by faith. And you kind of imagine, well, that all happened just like that on the Damascus Road, you know. Well, quite a lot happened on the Damascus Road. But what he's saying there is, this is my journey. And he's saying, in effect, brothers, I'm still on that journey. I'm still on that journey. I'm still counting as garbage. Garbage, all my. I'm still doing it. It's an ongoing thing at the very least. It's a daily thing. I need to keep doing it. I need to keep pursuing what it is to know Jesus. Yeah. What do you depend on for your salvation? And I have to admit, I thank God, you know, there are these great testimonies that said, you know, well, I was on drugs and I was in prison and I did all this, but when I got saved, my life was turned around. Amen. But mine isn't like that, really. I have to say, I was brought up in a Christian home. I never got drunk. I always obeyed mum, well, nearly often. I think, sure, probably not true. Nearly most of the time. I tried one of my parents. I was good. I was the best boy at school. I was the best in the class. All of that stuff. And Paul says, and I'm looking at what Paul said, and you kind of think, yeah, I know it's grace, Lord. I know I'm saved by grace, but I wasn't that bad, really. I mean, I was quite good. I never swore until I went to work. And I only swore in self-defense. And my boss swore, so... So you kind of get that, but Paul says, no, I'm still on this journey. He says, I've not got there yet. I still want to know Christ. And now after he's planting these churches, the heart of what he's saying to us in this CD wants us to take this morning, he says, I haven't got there yet. I want to know Christ. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But here we go again. One thing I do, and being a great preacher, after every other preacher having said he's going to preach on one thing, he preaches on three things. So here they are. One thing I do, forgetting what's behind. You know what to do with the past? Some of that is natural. I am now in the stage increasingly where forgetfulness is a natural habit. But some things we have to deliberately forget. Even the good things we can forget. Many bad things certainly we can forget. There are some things, you know, don't take it too extreme. We don't forget what God has said to us. But Paul says, forgetting the past, the constraints of the past. When he said, writes to Galatians, and you can see where he's been and where he came from. He said, I was brought up in the traditions of my fathers, and I was more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. I want to tell you, I was brought up in the traditions of my spiritual fathers. They're great spiritual fathers. But Paul had to cast all of that away. He says, I want to know Christ. We know what Christ did 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago. But God, I want to know what you're doing now in the way, what your plan is for my life. And I haven't arrived yet. He says, I don't count that I've taken it yet. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which Christ has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I press on. I press on. There's a prize. I believe there's a race in Newcastle today. Is it a half marathon? The trouble with many races, so-called, they're not really races, isn't it? And half the people in those races, I don't want to put them down just because I can't run more than 10 yards. But there is no such thing in the kingdom of God as a ramble, and there's no such thing as a fun run. This is not a fun run. This is not a run to get to the finish. This is a run to win the prize. Yeah. Paul emphasized all of his writing. Yeah. I am on to win the prize. Yeah. There's only one place for me in this race, and I'm going to be first. There is no second place. There is no just, well, he did the race, he did it. But he actually completed. And the race, of course, is not against even one another. If it was against Judas, she would win hands down. Or anybody else. But it's against what God has put in my heart. He says, I want to find out. I want to discover. I tell you, I want to discover why God has apprehended me. How about you? But I've been apprehended. I've been apprehended, not by the law, but by grace. He apprehended me. I was just a happy young man. I thought I was okay. And all of a sudden, God apprehended me. I was a civil servant. I had my life all sort of pegged out and planned out. Nothing could go wrong. I mean, I was an upstanding civil servant. I mean, that's the best of the best, isn't it? But God apprehended me, grabbed me, reached down from heaven and grabbed me, turned me around. And he said, this is what you've got to do. Now, if I could say, I think I've done that, I'm ready for heaven. You can take me funeral service. I'll put the hymns down and Judith could lead the funeral service. But problem is, I don't think I have. I want to challenge you. I want to plant that seed in your heart. I want you to think back. How God apprehended you. How did he apprehend you? I'll do it now. I will do it today, I promise. Well, I'll do it now to make sure. I'm going to get down on my knees and say, God, when you apprehended me, I was just at this happy conference, just enjoying ourselves. This is the most beautiful. I mean, all I need, I've got everything I need. I had almost everything I need until Jude came. And that was everything, wasn't it? Didn't need anything else. We were sat there, happy husband and wife, getting married next month. We knew what our future was going to be. And God apprehended me. I can't put it into words. Wish I could, but I don't think you could anyway. Yeah. All I know is that God, the Holy Ghost, the same Holy Spirit that put his hand on the Apostle Paul on the Damascus Road, came upon me in that Bible school and Bible camp, Bible conference in Minehead in May 1971. And he said, I have called you. I have called you for a purpose. And he says to me today, and I share it with you today, you ain't done it yet, mate. You have not yet fulfilled what I put in your heart. I've not called you just to mark time for the rest of it. I've not called you to ramble on to the end of the race and get a nice little thing round your neck. I'm called you to get the winner's prize. Amen. Forgetting what is behind, straining to what is ahead. I press on. I press on towards the mark. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. So that's it. Amen. Oh, man. Oh, man. Those are the seeds. Those are the seeds. Amen. Come and just stand then and we'll trust the Holy Spirit to plant those seeds. Actually, if you want to kneel, then you can kneel. First seed is the seed of salvation. The seed of salvation. Has that seed been planted in you? That's the beginning. If any man is in Christ, he is a brand new creature. And there is no such thing. The day you get saved, you start running for Jesus. There's no kind of, you know, settling down for an hour or so, introduction going on in Alpha course. If you've got saved, then you can start sharing the gospel. If you're saved, then you can start living for Jesus. If you're not yet saved, this needs to be that day.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
Gone are the days of delay.
Yeah.
Gone are the days of procrastination. That's one of my big sins. God, deliver me from that. When this prayer team gets going, say, deliver Pastor David from procrastination. If you don't know what that means, nor do I. But let's pray now. Let's just pray for those seeds. Let's pray that these will be planted. Lift up your hearts and your hands to God. Thank God for your salvation. And thank God for your salvation. Father, to any that can hear my voice today that need to receive you as their Savior, may they open their hearts and receive you today. Lord, if there are any that have yet to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And for those of us that have been, Father, we come before you and we search our hearts and we ask, O God, that you will just reveal, show us, O God, renew in us that passion. We want to apprehend what you've apprehended us for. Lord, you saved us for a purpose. You saved us and called us with a holy calling. And Father, I thank you for that. And I pray for my brothers and sisters today that, Lord, every single one will win the prize. That when we meet in heaven, we're all going to have crowns until we give them to Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you for that, Lord. So have your way in the way. We heard what the devil has said, and we know he's a liar. And we know he's a failure. And we know the gates of hell cannot stand against it. But we're determined, Lord, we are going to live for you. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. 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 Praise God. Amen. Amen. Bless God. So, amen. Enjoy the fellowship. See you on Wednesday night then. Amen. Praise God. His spirit.
washed in his